Amen. Glory to God. Good evening. Have your seat. Praise God forevermore. Glory, glory, glory. 2 Timothy and chapter 3. We're looking at following God's leading. All right, following God's leading. And this particular aspect of God's word, just like prayer, there's some aspects of God's word that in the local assembly, it has to be taught repetitively. Subject matters such as prayer, understanding the leadings of God. They're just two of the basic things that are foundational when it comes to your learning, your growing, and the practice of truth in local assembly. So there's no such thing as I've learned that or I've heard that before. God's word is new every day. Hallelujah. With respect to things along this line. In 2 Timothy chapter 3, and I read from verse 15. It says, then that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. And that from a child, now he's talking to Timothy, who was the bishop of the church at Ephesus. And so when it says from a child, you have to look at it contextually. From a child, it doesn't mean when Timothy was an infant physically. He's talking about how Timothy grew from being a young believer to someone who was assigned to ministerial duties. So he's talking about from a spiritual babyhood stage to somebody who became mature enough to preside over people. That's what he's talking about here when he says that from a child. So notice what he says again. And that from a child you have known. So to know there will imply that there was a time Timothy came in contact with the gospel. The summary of the message Timothy heard was salvation is through faith in Christ Jesus. And it says from the scriptures. That means from Genesis to Malachi, Timothy understood that the central theme, not the only theme, is salvation, which is through faith in Christ Jesus. So even though Jesus wasn't directly mentioned in Genesis to Malachi, Timothy understood by proper teaching and interpretation of scriptures that the message is salvation through faith, which is where in Christ Jesus. So it says, from a child you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able. So notice, the Scriptures carry the ability to make you wise. That word is word to become sophisticated in your understanding, sophizo. Sophisticated in your understanding. Become skillful with respect to how you handle scriptures. In other words, when you read the scriptures now, there's a way you perceive scriptures you didn't have that understanding before. But it says the same scriptures by which you were saved, they carry the ability to make you skillful in interpreting those scriptures because you have one major foundation. What's that foundation? Look at the next verse. All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable. It is profitable. In other words, it is advantageous. It is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. That the man of God may be mature. That's the word perfect. Thoroughly furnished unto all good works. Hallelujah. So all scripture is given by the very breath of God. That's what he's saying. In other words, the way the scriptures were put together, the lessons that were fashioned together was by inspiration. Some things were written down by inspiration. Not everything in the scriptures is written by God or spoken by God, but the way the scriptures were woven together was inspired by God, by the breath of God. So it says it's profitable for doctrine, that's for teaching, for reproof, or that's where you get the evidence from. So the evidence of your conviction, how you became persuaded of salvation, you find that evidence in the scriptures. Then it says correction. So the man of God, the sound believer, requires correction that brings about maturity, and then instruction in right living, in right doing, instruction in righteousness, instruction with respect to how to follow God's ways, how to walk in the light of God's grace. That's instructions in righteousness. Hallelujah. So, notice, the scriptures are able to make you wise. Now, we deliberately framed the title of this series that we're following God's leading, because no believer has a problem being led by God. Again, there are two ways you can live your life as a believer. You can live experientially, or you can live by the word of God. So, notice it says, is able to make you wise. Because the scriptures have already been concluded in the salvation that was offered through faith in Christ Jesus. So whatever you find in the scriptures as a promise, it has been fulfilled in Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. So when I'm reading Genesis, then I come to the prophets, I come to the book of Psalms, I will see statements, I will see prophecies. And those prophecies are a description of what salvation through faith in Christ will offer to anyone who believes. Hallelujah. You know, for a long time, I used to hear the scripture quoted, and it took a while before I learned how to read contextually. The greatest gift I got as a younger believer was my aunt who gave me a small Bible with gold leaf print edge and a center column reference. Oh my God. It tore. I had it bound again. It was like, that's the only book that God can speak to me. You know, when you feel like, when you open it, that's when God can speak. Any other Bible, God will know, you will not hear the voice of God. When you open this one, because it was like a treasure, because that was the first time I learned how to read by doing cross-referencing. So, in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, because I don't know how many times I read the book of Corinthians, particularly 1 Corinthians 2. When you hear, as it is written, verse 9, I has not seen, nor hear heard, and I have entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for them that what? Love him. Now, over the years, we've taught, what does it mean to love him? It means to believe. If you love me, keep my word, which is believe my word. Isn't that what Jesus taught? So, now, eyes have not seen nor heard. He hasn't entered out of man. Means that every utterance that describes what you and I have in salvation was spoken by the mouth of the prophets inspired by God. It didn't come from the heart of a man. It didn't come from that man. So, when you're looking at the scriptures, you're seeing God frame through the mouth of the prophets a description of what he has prepared when the man comes into Christ. Now, one of the things God prepared for a man in Christ is that that man will always be led. So, when we say following God's leading, the idea is that God is already leading you. The question is, do you recognize and know how to follow? Now, remember what I said earlier. You can live by your experience, or you can live by the light of the word. What is your experience? You don't always feel led. But we ask you, do you know whether you should go to, I really don't know what to do. You are not wrong, but you're also not right. You're not wrong in the sense that when it comes to your mind, you may not know at that point in time. But you are also wrong in the sense that there is a part of you that knows that your mind needs to fellowship with. And that's the spirit that's within you. Hallelujah. Why? Because you are in a state of being perpetually led. Just by reason of the new birth. So God doesn't need to be gingered to lead you. When I said that, and Brother Kola, would they just entered? What a coincidence. Imagine that. If you don't understand, pray in tongues. That God will give you understanding. So notice, eye has not seen nor heard, not has it entered in that of man, the things God has prepared for them that love him. 1 Corinthians 2. Let's go there. Thank you. Look at the next verse. Look at the next verse. But God, say God, has revealed them unto us by what? Now, what is he really talking about? He's talking about the message of the gospel. In that message, it is a description of what God has planned, spoken ahead of time concerning us. He says God has revealed means we that have believed the message, God has revealed those things to us. Now, see what it says again. It says, God has revealed them to us by his spirit. For the spirit searches all things. Yea, what? The deep things of God. Actually, it's better to say, unveils all things. What the spirit unveils are the deep things of God. What are those deep things? Every prophecy spoken, every promise that was made, the spirit is now revealing and unveiling through what is written to us in the epistles. Hallelujah. Now, look at the next verse. See what it says. It says now, for what man knows the things of a man, save the spirit of man which is in him? Even so, the things of God knows no man, but what? The spirit of God. Next verse. Now. Say now. Say now. We have received. not the spirit of the world. He just told you that the spirit of God unveils things of God, and the spirit that unveils things of God, you have received that spirit. So you and God are on the same page. That's what he's saying. You and God are on the same page, and the things that have been prepared are now your inheritance and your present tense possession. Hallelujah. Let me say it again another way. When you go through Genesis Malachi, remember what he said to Timothy. All scripture is given by the inspiration of God. It's profitable for doctrine, for evidence. That's for persuasion. That is, how do you persuade people? How do you become persuaded is a reality? It's still those same scriptures. It says for persuasion, for correction. That's what we, so for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. Now, those same scriptures now, he now speaks of those scriptures in 1 Corinthians 2, and it tells you there are things God has prepared. What are the things prepared? They are the things in the gospel that were spoken by the mouth of the prophets. God has revealed simply means the gospel has been announced, it has been declared, it is now unveiled to us, and not just unveiled to us, we are beneficiaries of the things God has prepared. What summary of what God has prepared? You can find that summary in the spirit that you have now. Say, now I've received not the spirit of the world, but the spirit gives of God, that I may know the things which are freely given to me of God. So when we say a man is born again, we can say he's a new creation. We can say he's a forgiven one. We can say he's redeemed. We can say he's justified. We can say he's God's righteousness. We can say he has the spirit. We're saying the same thing. Hallelujah. We're saying the same thing. We can say no longer condemned. We're saying the same thing. We can say has everlasting life. We're saying the same thing. There are things which God has prepared for them that what? Believe, or those who love him. Glory to God. Can you see that now? So, one of the most important things for us to understand, because when we're looking at following God's leading, there's a spooky way we approach it sometimes that causes us to go into error. There's a spooky way. And the most important aspect of being led by the Spirit of God is not that God leads by his Spirit alone, but God that leads by his Spirit also leads by his word. Let me ask a question. How did you receive Spirit? Through the word of God. Galatians chapter 3. Are you following tonight? So we're starting off today, because we go back to the foundations again, we revisit those truths, and then we get established in the reality thereof. Galatians chapter 3, I read from verse 2. Galatians 3 verse 2, this only will I learn of you, received you, so past tense, is talking to people who are saved. If a man is saved, how does 1 Corinthians 2 describe the person? Now, you have received. Not the spirit of the world, but speaks of God, that you may know the things which are what? Freely given to you of God. How else does the Bible describe you in 1 Corinthians 2? It says, things which eyes have not seen nor ear heard. Those things God has unveiled to you because you are a possessor of those things, isn't it? Now, in Galatians 3, verse 2, this only will lie none of you. When you receive the Spirit, or when you became a partaker of the things God has prepared, notice, did you receive it by human efforts, by obeying the law, or by the hearing of faith? Notice the question is asking. Did you receive the Spirit? Did you receive what was promised via the gospel by human effort? Did you receive it by the works of the law? Or did you receive it, there was a hearing that came? How? It's called the hearing of faith. The word faith there can also be called the hearing of God's faithfulness. You heard of a performance. God said he would do something, he has done it. It was announced to you that what God said he would do, he has done. Now, when you had it, what was the proof you had that gospel and you believed? You received the Spirit. You became a new creation. In other words, in you, prophecy was fulfilled. Now, one of the things we need to also realize is that prophecy was fulfilled in you becoming a new creation automatically means any and everything attached to those prophecies is a reality in you now. Glory to God. It's a reality in you now. So it's not that you have some. No, you have the Spirit. That's a description of everything God has ever promised. You have the Spirit. Say, I have the Spirit. I have God's help. I have God's might. I have God's ability. I have God's fullness because I have the Spirit. Hallelujah. So you can't have the Spirit and need something else. No. When you speak about need, you are literally talking about experience. Somebody says, is that wrong? No. It's not wrong if we know the context of which, in other words, though you have help, the help is not manifest. You know there's a difference? So, what makes help manifest? Sometimes prayer, but before prayer is understanding that the help is near. Secondly, that the help, God is not unwilling for the help to manifest. It doesn't make sense. I gave you help. So I'm not going to bring fresh help. I gave you help by giving you my spirit. My spirit is called standby comfort. That means a constant power source. Then you now think you need to persuade me after I gave you a constant power source to help you. It doesn't make any sense. I gave you my spirit. I gave you my all. I gave you a constant power source. And I said, what I was laboring for from Genesis to Malachi is to get my spirit across to you. And I've done that. And when I did that, I rested. The rest doesn't mean God went to sleep. It simply means every other thing God said he would do is now being done through everyone who has that spirit. Hallelujah. So it's not about asking God to send. It's about experiencing what God has already given. Can you see the difference? Hallelujah. Glory to God. So can you see what he says when he says, the word of God is profitable. He says, from a child you have known. So the only scriptures got you saved. What the scriptures promise has been your experience. But notice what those scriptures will also do. They are profitable for doctrine. Then as evidence of certain spiritual realities promised in the Holy Scriptures, the same scriptures. He said they are profitable for correction also. And then finally for instruction in righteousness. That the man of God may be mature, thoroughly furnished. Hallelujah. Say, I'm led by the Spirit of God. Say, the leading of God is in my tabernacle. I'm the tabernacle of God's Spirit. God's Spirit is tabernacled within me. I'm always led. I'm not confused. I'm not in the dark. I'm in the light. I walk in the light. I walk in God's ways. Hallelujah. Now, you know, because the evidence, which is reproof from the scriptures, will be what you are standing on as you make those confessions, because the truth of the matter is this, you are being led. Now, let me say it another way also. Look at Jeremiah, the crying prophet. Jeremiah chapter 10, we're just establishing today, verse 23. I pray I'm right. Okay, I am. Oh Lord, I know that the way of man is not where? In himself. It is not in man that walketh to direct his own steps. I know that the way of man is not in himself. It is not in man that walketh to direct his steps. So the way of man is not himself. So man was designed by God to be insufficient. Man was designed by God to be influenced or to be led. That's where God designed man. And that's why God's primary assignment at salvation is that he should lead you and guide you in the right paths. To that effect, you may not feel like you are being led. It doesn't change the fact that you are led. That you don't feel like you are led simply means you are not on the same page with God when it comes to your mind. What should you do? The word of God is profitable. It's for doctrine. You are taught. Then it gives you evidence. Then you are corrected. Then you are instructed in the things to do to ensure you and God are on the same page. Hallelujah. Why? Because from all scripture is given by the inspiration. And it says, the same scripture will make you wise. It will make you wise. It will make you skillful over a period of time unto how to walk in the light of what God has already given you. So, let's look at it this way. You were given the end at the beginning. You now walk from that end to the beginning. Should I say it another way? You were given all that was promised at once. That you were given, you now start from what you were given and start learning. It's like this in God. They gave you the PhD certificate when you got saved. See, it's yours. You see, but I don't know. He said, go to school. The school doesn't now start learning. So year one, year two, you finish BSc, you go for masters. You leave masters, you go for PhD. And some of us, we quit at masters. You have even tried. Some of us is BSc. In fact, year two, you stop studying. What's your scripture score? All things are hers. But we cannot see all things through you. Because it says that the man of God may be thoroughly furnished. You are not thoroughly furnished. What will furnish you is inside. What is inside? We find the expression through scripture that is given. Can you say the anyway? Psalm 19. Glory to God. Psalm 19. by the word and by the spirit. That's how we perfect the leading of God. Psalm 19. I read from verse 7. Have you read this psalm before? The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. In present day language, renewing the mind. The law of the Lord, it's perfect. It's a law. It's an ongoing principle. It doesn't fail. Okay, what's that? Amen. Okay. So it says, law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the law is sure. Doing what? Making wise the simple. See what it says again. The statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening. Can you see that one? Enlightening the eyes. Look at the next verse. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The judgments of the Lord are true, and they are righteous altogether. I mean, David was a man, an amazing man. David wrote all that. So he said, more to be desired a day than gold, yea, than much fine gold, sweeter also than honey and the honeycomb, moreover by them. So David is saying God's word has become a map, a navigation instrument all through his days. Did David have the spirit? Yes or no? Yes, in the sense that he had the spirit, but not in the sense you and I have the spirit today. He didn't have the spirit living in him. He had the spirit because he was a king and he was a prophet. So, notice what David said. He said, more to be desired. So, David's secret was that there was a desire he had for God's word that helped him to navigate. Now, I'm going to stop and take a pause now. You know, in those days, to hear God's voice practically, besides having the gift of prophecy or office of the prophet, they would go and consult Urim and Thummim. Have you read the Bible to that point? Okay. So, you remember that story in 1 Samuel chapter 30? When David went to war and came back and they took all captives, and David cried until there was no more power to cry. How do you know David is a man after God's heart? He's a man that loved God's word. After he did that, while he was doing that, his own daughter or his own children and wives were taken captive as well. But the people that they went together were threatening to stone him as though he was responsible. So those who are meant to support you, everybody turns against you. And it's very interesting today. Social media, everybody goes against you. They quit, they hack you. They go against you. You're not going to commit suicide. You are stupid. If you are a saint too, something's wrong with you. That means over time, their opinion became more important than God's opinion. They criticize you. You now want to go and die. Don't even close down your account because of people who have no investment in your life. You know, it does something that doesn't make sense. Just think. It's not pride. Just think. Did they pay for your school fees? When you have not paid that rent, are they the ones that will pay? No, they don't care. Have you eaten today? We don't know. They also don't know, and they are beating. And you are taking their opinion seriously. You know, it doesn't make any sense. The people that David trusted in wanted to stone David. And David encouraged himself in the Lord. You know what that means? That means David faced God and remembered the things God said about him to him and began to use to encourage himself, because there was no encouragement outside though. None of those people could encourage him anymore. In fact, they were looking to David for encouragement after cursing him. Like it was a curse. David encouraged himself in the Lord and decided to seek God as he has always been. And God told him, pursue, overtake, you will recover all. So David was a man who followed God's leading consistently. Where did he start from? He started from God's word. Remember, all scripture is given. They are profitable. So there is something, if you want to be led of the word, let me rephrase that. Not that if you want to be led. If you want to recognize and interpret the leading of God's spirit, the fastest and surest way is to allow God's word to be a major part of your guidance system. Hallelujah. We're seeing the days of roving prophets. You know, we are roving prophets. You come. Good afternoon, brother. It's like you're serving your family. You have been facing some difficulty for a while. Yeah. Sometimes they go on a fishing expedition. You know what I mean, a fishing expedition? But you just tell one or two things. And because they operate by familiar spirit as well. In answer, God sent somebody to me. God left your pastor, left your church, left your fellow church members. He now went for a roving in a bus. Somebody who doesn't have address to come and tell you that, and then, like, God was trying to lead me. You know, is that how somebody came to deceive you? Or you are stiff necked. Because that's not God's method at all. So, but if you don't know God's word, Anybody that comes in the name of God, you will accept what they say. Have you noticed that? That means it's not even necessarily spirit you are going to trust at that time. It is the word of God that tells you, this is not how God operates. This is not how God operates. Let me say it this way. I'd like to those who are married. You are familiar with your spouse, isn't it? Okay. If somebody calls you using your spouse's voice, and they speak contrary to what your spouse says, how many of you will know? You will know. If you don't know, take 7 prophets, light 7 candles, and pray for you for 7 hours for deliverance. If you don't know, why? By reason of association, you know what your spouse can say, you know what your spouse can say. So that when they report your spouse did this, you should be able to say, no, you didn't see my husband. That wasn't my wife. Now, what the word of God does is that it makes you so used to God's nature and disposition in situations that you know what God cannot say. Let me give you an illustration. You remember what this is? Moreover, by them your servant is one, and in keeping of them there is what? Great reward. Look at next verse. Who can understand his errors? Cleanse thou me from what? Secret faults or wrong ways of interpreting your counsel. There are faults. There's a slant I sometimes have that, so to speak, enables me to misrepresent what you are trying to say. In other words, you say this because of my slant, I interpreted it this way. It causes secret faults. Look at next verse. It says, keep back your servant also from what? Presumptuous sins. Let them not have dominion over me. Then I shall be upright. I shall be innocent from what? The great transgression. Some years ago, I served in the north. My degree, to be precise. So, I was meant to serve there. I prayed. So, and because of the fact that I didn't want to go that far to serve, there had to be a spectacular manifestation to let me know that God wanted me to go there. So, let me see this along the line. I pray we'll get there. We don't pray for spectacular manifestation for a very simple reason. Because if you focus too much on it, Satan is likely to accommodate you. Hallelujah. Okay. So, we don't pray for that. It comes as it's necessary. When it's necessary, God gives it to you. So, in my case, I was praying. I was even confessing Lagos. I was confessing Lagos. So I didn't want to go anywhere. I just wanted to go. So, but when I began to pray, the more I prayed, the more I find it difficult to mention. Every time I pray in tongues, the Lagos will not come. If I don't mention Lagos, my tongue will cease. So it was spectacular. So I knew from experience, I didn't know where I was going, but I knew. We're not going to Lagos. That's why I couldn't mention Lagos. That, you know, you start learning that this is God's good time. Prepare your heart. Where did they send me to? The furthest part of Nigeria. Maiduguri. Borno State. 12 hours on the road, we're in Kano. 15 hours, I disconnected from my family and friends. But we're on the road for 15 hours. About 18 hours and a half. That's when we got there. You know, you cannot get angry and come back. When you get angry, you calculate the anger and calculate the cost, what the anger will cost you before you can go back. That's when you are coming to even visit home. You plan the trip, you save money. You cannot just get angry. I just want to go. You cannot just go. When you look at the cost. Now, so I knew I was meant to be there. So when we got there and I began to see certain signs, what God wanted me to do, I joined the Corpus Fellowship. And before the 3 weeks was out, I was a leader in the Corpus Fellowship. Yeah, I was just saying, we could just do things. And I joined the local assembly over there and began to see the finger of God and that thing. So, but here's where I'm going. Towards the end of service here, I was given a position in local assembly to assist the pastor. So, it was like a good thing. I'm a ministry person and everything. And then I had this unease on the inside. Good offer. For my name was printed as the head of the Bible school. It was already printed. They were going to pay me. So I wasn't looking for a job. It's a good package, isn't it? And then on the inside. So the issue was that on the outside, everything is good. But on the inside, I had this restraint. Then we used to have a small fellowship in our Corpus Lodge there. I and another minister, we took turns to take the fellowship. So, after I finished fellowship one morning, he just walked up to me and said, my nickname was Bishop. He said, Bishop, maybe you should reconsider staying. Just maybe you should reconsider staying. So, when he said it also, because I'd been sensing that on the side, my problem was I already accepted, I already told pastor I was going to stay. I don't know if my wife was praying. That this man, come back. You're not staying there. Come back here. So, we're not married then. We're cutting. So, when he said that to me, I began to pray more. So in that instance, I needed a stronger confirmation to let me know, because I felt like God told me to come to this land. That God told you to come here doesn't mean he told you to stay permanently. Your tenure may be over. God's leading is a consistent, it's not rigid. So now, here's where God's word comes in, because I will tell you two things happened. There was a spectacular manifestation. I was in a midweek service. Because of where my heart was, I was praying. While we were worshiping, the pastor came to take over the service. And while he took over the service, he just gave an utterance in tongues. I heard interpretation very clearly. I heard interpretation. He didn't interpret it. I heard it. Me, I heard interpretation. I said, don't stay. I have a place. I have something else ready waiting for you when you get back to, when you get back home. So I went to meet the pastor after the service. He said he didn't say so. I understand, I didn't argue. But a few days after meditating, I was like, okay, what exactly should I do? I needed something. Then I was reading the scriptures, and then suddenly I saw it in the scripture. In the scriptures, I saw what Paul said. A door was opened up to me of the Lord. A door was opened up to me of the Lord. But I could not stay. I had no rest in my spirit because I saw not Titus, my brother. Then the Spirit said, can you see that? That though I opened the door, follow the unrest on the inside. I don't even get it. I was the one that opened the door. But when I opened the door to Paul, Paul did not follow the door. He followed the unrest on the inside. He says, now, I opened this door, but there's unrest on your inside. Now, follow the unrest on the inside. And that's how God just rescued me. I'm trying to get this thing as practical as possible. That the word of God was used to confirm the leading of the Spirit. Because remember, the Spirit you have right now came to you by the word of God. Yes or no? The Spirit you have came by the word of God. It was a message you heard. Did you receive the Spirit by the works of the law or by the hearing of what? Faith. What's the hearing of faith? You heard the gospel. And when you heard the gospel, that same gospel became Spirit on your inside. That's how God led you out of darkness into light. That's how he did. So God's word is still the most important guidance system you will ever need. Because it will make you discern what spirit is in operation, whether you are hearing God's spirit or you're hearing desires of your heart. Glory to God. It will help you. It will enable you to do that. Go back to that Galatians chapter 3. Galatians 3. Oh, praise God. So, it says, this only will I know of you. Received you the Spirit by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith? Are you so foolish? Haven't begun where? In the Spirit. When did you begin? When you heard the gospel. When you heard the message of salvation. When you believe, you began in the Spirit. Say, I began in the Spirit. I began in the Spirit. And that says that, haven't begun in the Spirit, are you now made perfect where? In the flesh. So, when did you begin? You began in the Spirit. How did you begin? You heard the gospel. When you heard that message, you received the Spirit and you began in the Spirit. Now, throughout the scriptures, we now have illustrations that show when you began, what really, really happened. Look at John's Gospel chapter 10. John's Gospel chapter 10. Jesus is teaching, as usual, in parables. I see what Jesus said. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that enters not by the door unto the sheepfold, but climbs up some other way, the same is a thief and a robber. Now notice there's a sheepfold, there's a door to the sheepfold, there is one that comes through the door to the sheepfold, there's one that climbs up by some other way. So look at what it says again. But he that enters in by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. Hallelujah. The shepherd of the sheep enters by the door. See what it says now. To him the porter opens and the sheep hear his voice. He calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. So they're in the sheepfold. Where's the sheepfold? The earth is the sheepfold. That's where men are. Then the shepherd came to the sheepfold. He entered by the door. And when he entered by the door, notice Jesus is teaching a parable about salvation. That's what he's teaching. So there's a shepherd, there's sheep. Now, more often than not, in Jesus' teaching, notice he will say, these people are like sheep without a shepherd. Pray ye therefore the Lord of harvest that I will send what? Laborers into his what? Harvest. Now, put your hand there so you understand what he's talking about. Look at Isaiah 53. Put your hand there so you understand what he's talking about. Isaiah 53. I'm going to read verse 6. Aren't we like sheep? So that's a figure of speech. Aren't we like sheep have what? Gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way. And the Lord had laid on him what? The iniquity or the judgment or the sin of us all. He was oppressed, he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. He is brought as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before her shearers is dumb, he opened not his mouth. He was taken from prison and from judgment, and we shall declare the generation. So Isaiah is giving you step-by-step imagery of what Jesus did, listen carefully, in order to lead the sheep out. Let me pause. Jesus is teaching. He's using a parable. He's teaching salvation. There's a sheep, there's a shepherd, there's a sheepfold. There's a door to the sheepfold. Amen? So there's a sheep, there's a shepherd, there's a sheepfold. The sheepfold is the earth. The sheep are men. So Isaiah tells you, all we like sheep, we have gone astray. We have gone everyone his own way. That's the state of the lost. Every lost man. He now tells you what Jesus did as a shepherd in order to lead the sheep out. Where is the sheep? In the earth. What state are they in? They've gone astray. What does that mean? They're in darkness. What did he come to do? He came to where they are. Hallelujah. He paid the price to lead them out. So when Jesus is giving that parable, there are things he didn't say that you need to understand. This is what he's trying to say. Look at what he said. Go back to that John chapter 10. John chapter 10. You open that many scriptures now. So to him, the top porter opened it. The sheep hear what? His voice. And he what? Calls his own sheep by name and does what? He leads them out. He calls his own sheep by name. When you say he calls the sheep by name, so call you by name simply means when you hear the gospel and you believe the gospel, the master is calling you by name. What name is he calling you by? Okay. Feyi? Bukola? Feintola? No, which one is he calling you by? I know. Read. Just stay in context. Read again. To him the portal opened it, and the sheep do what? They hear his voice. Question. When did you hear Jesus' voice? When he went to the cross or when he rose from the dead? Again? When he rose from the dead. So how did you hear his voice? Laborers. What laborers do? They preach the gospel. In that gospel, whose voice were you hearing? The voice of the shepherd. What does it mean to call you by name? When you believe, you are now called son of God. You're my own. You belong to me now. I hope you understand the process. So, see, look at it again. Okay, what am I doing here? Okay, let me go back. See what it says. So it says, he calls his own sheep by name and he leads them out. And when he puts forth his own sheep, he goes before them. Where did he go before us? Where did he go before us? Hallelujah. Remember, it's profitable for reproof. For doctrine, for reproof, for instructions in what? Righteousness. So, if I'm reading John chapter 10, I should also have read John chapter 14. What did John chapter 14? I go to prepare a place. If I go, I will come again and receive you. So, when he calls his sheep, he goes before them. Isn't it? So, he led the way. He went through the process. We went through the same process by identification. They didn't flog us. Hallelujah. They didn't flog us. He identified with us in our sin that we may identify with him in his resurrection. Can you see the difference? So, in identifying with us in our sin, he suffered. In identifying with him in his resurrection is by faith. That's all we did. So, let me read that verse again. So, you see what he's trying to teach. See what he's trying to say. He's speaking in parables, but it's easy to understand. See what he says. And when he puts forth his own sheep, he goes before them. So, before he called you out, he has gone ahead of you. It is that going ahead that he used to call you out. So, he says, and the sheep follow him, for they know that salvation. They know his voice. And in stranger we did not follow, but we flee from him, for they know not what? The voice of stranger. Say, I know the voice of the shepherd. I heard his voice at salvation. I'm still hearing his voice now. I'm not a stranger to his voice. His voice is clear in my heart. I follow his leading. I follow his guidance. I follow his prompting. His voice is loud in my consciousness. Hallelujah. Now, what are we doing? We are presenting evidence to our hearts. So, the evidence, this is God's word as reproof. That is evidence to your heart as the fact that God has led you and God is leading you. Glory to God. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9. Before you go to 1 Peter chapter 2, Colossians 1 and verse 12. Amen. Giving thanks unto the Father, which has made us meet to be partakers of what? The inheritance. Let me ask again. Where will you find description of the inheritance? In the Holy Scriptures. Isn't it? we're going to be looking at that. Where will you find a full description of inheritance? In the Holy Scriptures. I hope you know that when you're reading the mighty acts of God through Gideon, you read those stories. Read them, it will encourage you. They were physical acts. When you read the mighty acts of God through Jephthah, when you read the act of God through David, you see deliverance, you see preservation, you see provision. The way you are meant to read it is this: a day without us, day without us. That is what God did with people who were not perfect, and you are God's perfection today. So you should expect angelic deliverance, angelic assistance, supernatural aid, divine provision. Because they without us, that is, we have something greater, something better. What they long for. So, with all that, they long for something they knew only we will have. And without us having it, they won't get it. Have they gotten it? They've gotten it, but they're not here. They got it, but they're not here to demonstrate it. So, what they demonstrated in the shadows are all part of what we're meant to demonstrate in the light. Hallelujah. Is that? So, the inheritance it speaks about here is described from Genesis to Malachi. He now says, give me thanks to the Father who has qualified us to be what? Partakers of the inheritance. Part of that inheritance is being led. Say, I'm being led by God's Spirit at all times. The leadings of God are native to my heart. I always know what to do because my Father always guides me. He leads me in the ways of pleasantness for his name's sake. So he now says, in next verse, who has delivered us from the authority of darkness and has what? Translated us to the kingdom of his dear Son. So you were delivered from ignorance. You were delivered from not knowing. You were delivered from walking in darkness. That's part of your deliverance. You were delivered means that you were taken out of that place where you were led by other spirits. You were subject to other forces. You are now in the kingdom of God's dear Son, where the voice of the shepherd is sound. It's loud, rather. So, 1 Peter 2, verse 9. 1 Peter 2, verse 9. But you are a chosen generation. You are a royal priesthood, you are an holy nation, you are a peculiar people that you should show for, that's demonstrate the praise of him who has what? Called you out of darkness into where? His marvelous light. Hallelujah. You were called into his marvelous light. So you were called out once. In that calling, there's a constant voice, constant leading. That's now your inheritance. In the fact that you were called, where are you now? You are in marvelous light. God is so interested in your personal affairs that even when you want to use an hospital, he's ready to let you know, use this one. Don't use this one. I hope you know. He is. He is. God is interested in details. He's interested in details. I mean, I've seen people who, they had a prompting to do things in a particular way. Somebody felt an urge to increase water intake. And later, it was discovered. That was exactly what doctor would have recommended to combat a particular ailment. But he had a prompting of the Spirit to do so. There's a man, I'm trying to remember his name now. He was an evangelist to one of these African countries. And you can serve God and die if you don't follow the leading. You can serve God and if you are ignorant, you can. He kept having fainting spells. He kept fainting. He was a white man in tropics. He kept fainting. So he began to pray. Thought it was an affliction. Maybe the enemy was attacking him. Not everything is an attack. Some things are natural consequences, but you just don't know. I mean, I know another minister, I mean, he's in the 80s now, Dr. Kayakula, he said he kept having headaches constantly. So he decided to go on a 3-day fast. On the first day of the fast, not 2 days. He did not even reach night. He heard on the inside, stop taking coffee. Coffee has no additional value. Stop taking coffee. And because he loves coffee, no, that's not God. That can't be God. What does God have to do with coffee? He started praying, The more he prayed, louder his voice became, stop taking coffee. Then he said that, let me just act on what I heard. He stopped miraculously. You are bound, Eddie. You've cast it. You've cursed it. You have bulldozed it. It didn't go. And he stopped taking coffee. Then he just, whew. Then he went to a doctor. He's okay. The doctor told him that, well, coffee has no medicinal value, really. You don't really need it. And if it's having this effect on you, just stop it. Something the spirit aware has already told him. He did 2 things, though. Just did 2 things. So this minister was fainting. He kept having fainting spells. He prayed and everything. So one morning when he was praying, he heard on the inside, how did the two socks your food? Oh, my wife is here. I stopped taking sugar on the 1st of May. I woke up to pray in the morning. I had on the inside, stop taking sugar. I didn't ask him, Spirit, is that you? Because you are making some confessions. If you're making some confessions, the Spirit of God will come to give you instructions in how to make it a reality. The confession I'm making is God's word. Then the life of the world will now come and say, that thing you are saying, grant not. Some people don't like me today. They say, Sonny, my Sonny, stop taking granite. Imagine Spirit of God, some of you, Spirit of God, you, from now on, was no more thing, God, you will bind that spirit. You just bind that, I bind you. Now, if you're making confessions about health, sound health, about long life, about living, it will come and, because like it or not, what you are eating today is called thorns and thistles. The yam you are eating, even the rice, is thorns and thistles, according to Genesis. I hope you know. So most of the food we eat cannot even provide all the nutrients we need. So when the Spirit of God says, this particular thing for you, not for everybody, stop eating. Is there anything wrong with pork? Nothing. But nutritionally speaking, it has been known to be high in cholesterol. And also, there's this thing about infections and all kinds of worms. And so it's not that anything is wrong in that sense, but nutritionally speaking, it may not be the best to be consuming regularly. What if that's your favorite meat? And you are confessing, until God says, stop pork. He said, no, nothing should be refused. If you are using what? To counter the Spirit of God. You are quoting scripture to the Spirit of God that, no, the Bible says, nothing should be refused. If you receive thanksgiving, once I give thanks, he said, that's why I'm giving, so that you can give thanks for long. That's why we are telling you this now. I hope you know. See, I'm in particular with you as a person now. You whisper, you just started feeling that, stop taking coke. This coke is too much. Stop taking coke. Somebody say, ah. Can you see I'm eating home now? Mm-hmm. Stop taking coke. You can hear somebody say, go off soda entirely. You will not like, your flesh won't like it. But you are confessing health and long life. And that's how to have the health and long life. It's telling you, if you ever watch a documentary on coke, the sugar you need for a month is in one bottle. When Nigerian coke size is diluted. The original cocoa, the one they take in US. I hope you know it's different. Oh, you don't know. When you go there, you know this one is water. Yeah, I take it. But it may just minister to you. Stop taking. And that's all the leading you need at that point in time. That's all you need. Because you are confessing God's word. And there's a response from God's Spirit to you to lead you in what you should do. Listen. I have never done it before in this local assembly. Last Holy Ghost meeting. Second to the last day. Remember what I started saying by the Spirit. That some of us should get certifications. How many of you remember that part? Go and listen to the message. He's told you the end of this year and next year what to bring. That you need to reposition yourself for the prophecies to come to pass. Say, get certifications, get training, get more qualifications. This is the Spirit of God. The same one that we're praying for favor. And instead, this is how favor falls. This is how the favor will come. Reposition, we strategize, get certifications. Is that leading? That's leading. How else do you want him to lead you? He has even said it in plain terms. You were having many people were here that they were having that odd before. They didn't act on it before. But now they had a confirmation and now go and get certification. You just go. And some of those things now, even when you don't have a university degree, you can get it. How many of you know? You can. Because over there, they don't prioritize that. After your university degree over there, they prioritize you having the skills at hand. Do you have certifications? That's what they are going to ask you for most of the time. So it's really called the leader is already teaching you how to prosper and the way in which you should go. That's what he's doing. So please, let's understand that it's not spooky. It's in every details of our everyday life. The more you understand the word of God, the more the word of God conditions your mind to recognize the leading of the Spirit per time. So what God's word does is that it conditions your mind to recognize this can't be God and this is God. And nobody can agree it. We're all growing. We're all growing. We're all learning. And it's a continuous experience. You keep learning. You miss it. You pick yourself up. You go, next time, I know where I miss it. I won't miss it again. I'll get it right this time around. While you heard the voice of the shepherd, he called you out of darkness. You keep hearing that voice for the rest of your life in different situations. He has already rescued you from the greatest form of ignorance, which is the ignorance of condemnation that's upon those who don't believe. So every other one is small in the light of what is going to lead you out of. Look at Romans chapter 8, which is usually the anchor text most people use for teaching along this line. We're looking at following the leading of God. Like I said, we're using that phrase deliberately to let you know that God has been leading, but you need to now what? Respond. Verse 14. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are what? The sons of God. As many as are led by the Spirit of God. We can put it this way. If you are a son of God, then you are being led by the Spirit of God. And what is he calling leading? See what he defines as leading. Go with me all the way to verse 6. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is what? Life and peace. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God. He says, for it is not subject to the law of God, neither it can be. What is the law of God here in this context? That is the law of faith, which is the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus. That's what he's talking about. Let me say it again. When it says carnal mind here, listen carefully. It's not talking about a mind that is given to natural things. No. Carnal mind is talking about a carnal state of existence. Are you with me tonight? Are you with me tonight? Let me read that part so you see. Look at the contextual. See what it says. For to be carnally minded. It's not talking about a believer who is walking in the flesh. Please. No. It's talking about a state of existence, your nature now. If you are carnally minded, you are in the flesh. If you are spiritually minded, you are where? In the spirit. So, see what it says about carnal minded. It says, for the carnally minded is death. You can't say that to a believer. No. A believer doesn't have death in him. So, he's talking about a state of existence. It says, for to be carnally minded is death. But spiritually minded is what? Life and peace. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God. Whenever you see what enmity against God, it's not talking about a believer. No. It's talking about an unbeliever. So an unbeliever is what it's referring to here. Hallelujah. Glory to God. See what it says again. It says, so then, they that are in the flesh. Aha. It tells you now, this is where they are. They are in the flesh. So you are either in the flesh or you are in the spirit. If you are in the flesh, you cannot be pleasing to God. If you are in the spirit, you are pleasing to God, because without faith, it's impossible to please him. So it is those who have believed that are found pleasing, because they have been accepted in the beloved. Glory to God. Can you see that now? So see what it says in verse 9, but you are not in the flesh. Say, I'm not in the flesh. I'm not carnally minded. I'm not carnally minded. I'm spiritually minded. I'm in life and peace. Hallelujah. Glory to God. He says, so if so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you, now if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is not of flesh. If a man is in the flesh, he does not have the Spirit of God. He does not have the Spirit of God. So the Spirit of God is what determines whether a man is carnally minded or spiritually minded. So to have the Spirit means you are what? Spiritually minded. And how did you get there? Look at the verse 14. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are what? So to be led by the Spirit of God means you were led out of flesh. You were led out of sin. You were led out of condemnation. You were led into what? Righteousness. You were led into the light. Glory to God. Hallelujah. That's why at Romans chapter 8 verse 1 says, there's therefore now no condemnation to them which are what? In Christ Jesus. Most translations omit the B part. So that condition of who walk not out of the flesh is omitted, because there's no condition. There's no condition. When it says who conquer the flesh, there's no condition. It is omitted because when it comes to there's therefore now no condemnation. Once you're in Christ, there's no comma. Once you're in Christ, there's therefore now no condemnation concerning you. Once you're in Christ, no condition. That be part is not part of it. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So if you follow that train of thought now all the way to for as many as are led, he's talking about you were led out of darkness, led out of sin, led out of the flesh, led out of the senses, you were led into the Spirit of God. Say, I have the Spirit of God, I'm spiritually minded. Hallelujah. Because that means the Spirit's influence. So Paul now says, I haven't begun in the Spirit. I haven't begun by hearing the voice of the shepherd. I haven't begun that way. Why are you returning back to the senses? So let your heart receive leadership from the same source that brought you into light in the first place. Say, I'm not in the darkness, I'm in the light. I always hear the voice of the shepherd. I always know what to do. The promptings of God are real on the inside of me. My candle has been lit. I always know what to do. Hallelujah. I always know what to do. I walk in the light. I walk in the light. I walk in the light. And that's why the role that the word of God plays is that it renews your mind to recognize how and when God is leading you. The word of God renews your mind to recognize how and when God's leading you. We'll round up shortly in Psalm 119, verse 105. Look at David's prophecy. It's a prophecy. David's prophecy. Psalm 119, verse 105. Psalm 119, verse 105. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet, and what? A light unto my path. So, your word is a lamp, or through your word, I see the light to walk through life. Through your word. And then it's a light unto my path, or it guides me upon every decision that I make. That's what your word is. So, your word is a lamp unto my feet, it's a light unto my path. That's what your word is. Verse 130, please. The same Psalm 119. Look at verse 130. And we'll close for tonight. The entrance of your word gives what? Light. And it gives understanding to the simple. The simple there is also the word, the humble. So the entrance. In other words, many times when I'm receiving the teaching of God's word, I suddenly know what to do. You know, it's very interesting that many times when God's word is being taught, either you're listening to the message that's being taught, and there's a conflict on the inside concerning the decision you're about to take. How many of you had that experience? You just knew exactly what to do when you're in God's word. It has happened to me, I don't know how many times. You just knew. Okay, this is what I'm going to do now. Why the entrance of the word, it gave light. That is, clarity came. So, when there was previously an argument, should I do A, should I do B? You just knew A is the answer. And I'm going to go this way. Not only that light came, strength came. I knew exactly that this is exactly what God is saying. And that's why sometimes when you come to a local assembly, the pastor, you pray for the pastor, yes, and the pastor has also prayed. And though the pastor studies, he tends to use illustrations without planning to, that will answer questions. How many of you have seen that many times? Yeah. It's part of God's plan. So that as the word of God is being taught, clarity comes to you. You straighten up. You align. You know exactly what to do. That's God's will being fulfilled. Say, I'm God's will in motion. I'm God's will in motion. I'm reading God's will. And I know what to do part time. Every single day, He leads me. He guides me. In the next few years, there will be so much clarity. Because His word is a lamp unto my feet, a lamp unto my fight. I know exactly what to do. In all my affairs, God's leading prevails. Hallelujah. Lift up your hands and give Him thanks tonight. We're grateful, Father. We thank You for Your word.